T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Roll tape, please.
Okay, let's get this show rolling.
10 seconds.
Stand by, everybody.
John Fricke and Hugh Douglas. Live, local, and you can hear us all over Georgia.
Big Hugh, Big John, Big Guys, Big Show.
A 3-time NFL Pro Bowler and a guy who's been covering the A for nearly 3 decades. John and Hugh, call the guys at 404-741-0929.
Wait, I thought I was the man.
No, you're my man.
Oh, okay. So my man, what do you mean I'm your...
No, not like that.
Okay.
My man, we cool.
Okay, gotcha.
John and Hugh are on the air.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
I love a parade. Hugh is out today. Welcome to the morning show on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, because he's in Philadelphia for an Eagles parade. Took his little man, rode on up. He's going to be at the parade today in Philadelphia, so it is, and appropriately, I think, college football game time on the morning show the day after National Signing Day. Randy McMichael and John Chuckery. Morning, boys. What up?
Morning. Good morning. Good morning. Good morning.
How you guys doing?
Good. I'm here.
Yeah, well, yeah. That's not a bad thing. You know.
I mean, just wondering, because usually when the three of us together, we're about to eat. So are we eating anytime soon?
That's true.
You know, John Fricke did bring bear claws.
Yes, which you'd never heard of before.
Yeah. I never had one. I don't know if I've ever. No. I've probably heard of. I never had a bear claw.
Did you have those down in Fort Valley?
No, no, no. Okay. We just ate donuts.
Oh, okay.
It's regular.
You never had a bear claw?
Probably not.
Yeah. Oh, okay. I ever had an eclair?
Probably not.
Oh, okay. I just checking.
Yeah, it's not a website, Randy.
So it's the day after National Signing Day. Of course, it is a Thursday. The parade for the Eagles is today, and the Hawks get ready for back-to-backs with the Orlando Magic tonight in Orlando, and then tomorrow night, LBJ in town to face the Hawks. But college football game time, well, what a day, Randy McMichael, for your Georgia Bulldogs. I mean, they just absolutely killed it, as they say.
Yeah, they did good. They did good. You know, I'm not a big in-the-stars type guy, but they did good. They got some good players. It's all about developing these young guys, and most importantly, it's about depth. When you look at all the seniors they lost off this team, we talk about leadership. We also talk about depth. I mean, when I got some receivers, got another linebacker, another big offensive lineman, those are the positions, and a corner down there in Plantation, and those are the prime positions that you need to succeed and win in college football today.
You know, I've always been confused. You know, Chuck, when we were talking on the college football show, I've always been confused by something about recruiting, and that is, you know, does it matter or does it not? You can make a strong argument, and I did this with Hugh yesterday, that it matters when you say that Alabama's not number one for the first time since 2010, and you see what they've been able to do. And yet, at the same time, you could take a school like, you know, Boise State, which would take 3-star recruits, and that's all they'd ever get, and become a dominant program in their own right.
Well, statistically, if you look, John, it's, I want to say, like, over the last 12 or 15 years, there was a study done that your roster, if you're going to be a national title winner, your roster is typically at least 50% 4 and 5 stars. And they've gone through Clemson, Bama, everybody that's won a national title over the last 10, 12 years. And I think Bama is around 61% of 4 and 5 stars. So when you start getting into that kind of range, yeah, I mean, look, Bama's had, Randy, I think it's 7 guys since Nick Saban has been the head coach that have been first-team All-American at linebacker. Okay, that's not just – he's not just grabbing 2 stars to do that. You're getting every top defensive player, and you're turning them into – now, Randy, to our point, you got to coach them when they're on campus. Got to coach them up once they're there.
And he develops players. I mean, the one thing about – what I know about Nick, and the same thing Kirby's trying to do up in Athens, is he strips the stars from you. When you get on campus, they're gone. And you got to work your way, and you got to earn your right. And the way – what John talks about, when you were saying that they're not in the top 3 or whatever, I bet they're still the favorite next year.
Oh, yeah,
they'll be preseason number one.
Yeah, yeah, they'll be preseason number one.
Yeah, them and Clemson, Clemson, Ohio State, will be 1, 2, 3. Yes, with, right. So, and they were 2, 2, 5, and 6 in the recruiting rankings.
Right, exactly.
Which is actually low for Clemson and Bama over the last couple of years.
But do you look at what Dabo did? He got the number one defensive tackle, number one offensive tackle.
Number one safety.
He's picked up the two top quarterbacks in the last 2 years.
So he knows what he's doing.
Yeah. No. And of course, you know, Clemson fans are right to ask. And, you know, our old buddy Jeff Benedict, and shout out to Jeff, who's a huge Clemson fan. I had a chance to speak to his sports broadcasting class at Kennesaw State yesterday, and so Jeff and I, before I got up in front of the class, were talking about Clemson and about the fact that I asked him whether or not he thought that, you know, that Tyler Lawrence would be the starter there at some point this year, and he said yes.
Yeah, absolutely.
See, I don't think Justin Fields is necessarily the starter at UGA, but Tyler Lawrence at Clemson, I could see him beating out Kelly Bryant at some point.
Well, I think Kelly Bryant's Sugar Bowl performance probably left some doubt into some people's minds.
A lot of doubts.
Yeah, is he ready for that big of a stage? I mean, and actually, you know what? Bryant had played really well for Clemson. Nope, I don't think most people, I know I didn't think that they would be right back in the national title picture.
What about Trevor Lawrence, who's actually going to play at Clemson?
What'd I call him?
Tyler Lawrence. I'm not sure who Tyler Lawrence is, but Trevor Lawrence, yeah, from Cartersville.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he might be the starter.
Who some people have said is the best quarterback prospect since Peyton Manning going into college.
That's very...
That's pretty high.
Those are high praises right there.
That's pretty good company to be in.
Mm-hmm. This is just, again, a reminder that you never want to invite Bo to your Thanksgiving dinner.
Why is that?
Because he'll correct everybody all the time.
Well, John, if you wouldn't say stuff that's wrong, I mean, I'm kind of insulting. The guy plays 20 miles up the road and you can't get
misspoke.
His name right.
Misspoke.
No, you're just wrong.
With you till 10 o'clock.
Man. NBA trade deadline is at 3 o'clock today, and after the Blake Griffin trade, the fact is everybody thought that the dam was going to break in the NBA and that there was going to be this, you know, flood of Isaiah Thomas's and whatnot being traded. So far, that has not happened. Will it happen today? There's rumors flying everywhere about Marcin Gortat and other players that could possibly be dealt, but so far, it's been fairly quiet. And will the Hawks make a move? I mean, they've taken a lot of phone calls, even Travis Schlenk told us that they've taken a lot of calls, but will they actually make a move?
Oh, I think you're going to see an expiring contract or two be on the Hawks roster here very soon.
Yeah, and me and you were talking in the bullpen. It doesn't make any sense. If you're not competing, why get in the luxury tax? Why not try to dump as many contracts as possible? I don't think there's going to be a big enough trade that's going to swing the power of the East or the Western conferences by 3 o'clock this afternoon. It's not going to happen.
Yeah, I mean, the Eastern Conference All-Star team's not beating Golden State at this point, so what are you going to do to overcome that?
Well, you mean Team LeBron, that everybody's getting hurt that's on Team LeBron?
Yeah.
He just lost another guy, yeah. Porzingis, so no. But, I mean, everybody's talking about DeAndre Jordan. If you're not going to give up that Brooklyn pick, Cleveland's not going to get anybody. Everybody wants that pick, and they're trying to hold on. I don't blame Dan Gibbard for holding on it, because what if LeBron leaves? You're up the creek again. So, no, I'll keep it.
Yeah. The funniest part is talking about Isaiah Thomas getting traded. That's funny already. People talking about would they move him already?
Why not? If they can get something for him? You think Michael Jordan give him Kemba Walker for him?
Well, would you take Kemba Walker in a heartbeat? Yeah.
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 Yeah, why not?
I'd rather have Kemba Walker by 1,000 miles.
Yeah, I mean, the thing about Isaiah is you know, he can't grow. And I think that's the one thing. You saw last year in Boston, they built everything around him. Now he's trying to fit into a situation where the organization's not built around him. It's about LeBron, and he's coming in, bumping his gums a little bit too much, going at his new teammates, and he hasn't really proven anything to be able to – I won't say have that opinion, but to be coming at them like that. Man, know your role and work your way up.
I don't think they thought he was as unhealthy as what he was going into the season. I think they miscalculated how healthy he was going to be, and it's turned out that he can't stay healthy, and he ain't healthy at all. And almost missing most of the first half of the season. You know, it's totally backfired.
Here's a question for you, and I want everybody to ponder this. Has Kent Bazemore played well enough to justify his contract with somebody else?
No.
So he was a 12-5 guy on a 60-win team, and he's a 12-5 guy on a 13-win team.
No, he hasn't. But can he help somebody? Yeah, but are you willing to go into the luxury tax for Kent Bazemore to help your team? No.
For 12-5? No. 12 points and 5 rebounds?
He's playing better lately.
Okay, he's 12 points and 5 rebounds.
Well, I know, but that was why I was saying, you know, in the last couple of weeks, he's elevated his game, and is it enough for somebody? I don't know.
Every player in the league has a 2 and 3 week good stretch. Every guy in the league is going to go into one of those stretches where they play really well. At the end of the day, he was a 12-5 guy on a 60-win team, and a 12-5 guy on a 13-win team.
Who is untouchable on the Hawks?
Dennis.
Collins.
Untouchable?
Yeah, I think Dennis
if I could trade Dennis tomorrow, today I would.
For what?
Anything.
Really?
Yeah, because if I'm Travis Schlenk, I'm going after Trae Young. That's my target.
Are we sure Trae Young is going to do the same thing in the NBA that he's doing in college now? Because what I've noticed when I've seen him play, when you get up in him, he's really not that effective. Now, can he shoot the lights out? Yeah, he can do all that.
Yeah, he can shoot the lights out from 35 feet.
He can drop them, but I think Dennis is untouchable.
I do, too. I would be amazed. I mean, look, if somebody blows your socks off with an offer, I mean, then, yeah, you take it. But I can't imagine that they are looking to field phone calls for Dennis Schroeder. To me,
the one you wouldn't is John Collins. You talk about blowing my doors off.
He's a good player.
Yeah, and even then, I rank him John Collins, Torian Prince 1-2.
Yeah, I mean Prince is probably just because no team's looking to grab Torian Prince to help them win anything right now. So
he's still a developing player. Yeah. Also, that the Hawks hope they can build around, because we know in today's NBA, you got to have that dynamic wing player, and they're hoping that he might develop into something close to an all-star, maybe even an all-star.
Well, you know, length and speed, he's got a lot of things going for him. I mean, he's got to get a little bit bigger and stronger. And, you know, the last time they played Cleveland, there were some highlights where Torian got lit up a little bit by LeBron James, and people were like, oh, look at Torian Prince. He's supposed to be so good. LeBron's lighting him up. I'm like, he's LeBron James. He lights up everybody.
That's nothing to be ashamed of.
Right, that's what I'm saying. I mean, wait a second. Okay, good. Yeah, I can't wait for the day that Torian Prince doesn't get lit up by LeBron James. That's going to be a pretty good day for us, because that means he right there, and he ready now. 3:00 deadline for the NBA trades. When the business day starts at 9 a.m., we will be monitoring the wire, so to speak, and any trade at all, especially if the Atlanta Hawks are involved. We will pass it along to you immediately throughout the day on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. This is a morning show. Hughes in Philadelphia attending the parade today for the Philadelphia Eagles championship parade, where they're expecting 2 million people.
Does anything get broken today? Any fires? Any cars turned over? Anything today?
Probably not. It's early in the day.
How many
a lot
cracks
of kids,
does Liberty Bell have right now in it?
I don't know. That's what I mean. I'm
one
just
or two.
Curious. I'm just curious.
I mean, might be three or four by the end of the day.
Philadelphia, they have an interesting way of celebrating.
Yes, they do. Yes. Yeah, I know.
So how many police are going to be out for 2 million people?
A lot. State police, everybody else, yeah. You can name it.
Get the National Guard.
Yeah, and fortunately for the folks who are hungry in Philadelphia, there'd be a lot of horses hanging around.
What?
That was a crappy thing to say.
That really
I know it was a crappy thing to say.
But still, I mean, what does that have to do with being happy about your team winning the Super Bowl, eating horse manure?
I have no idea.
I don't get it.
I don't have any idea.
It must be a Philadelphia thing.
Got to be.
They put that on a cheesesteak or something.
Are the Wawa's going to be on lockdown? Is that what you're saying?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
College football game time in today. Randy McMichael and John Chuckery as Hughes in Philadelphia with John Fricke on the morning show. When we get back, we just touched on it. Let's dive into it. National Signing Day, winners, losers, and more. Some of the wild stories of what took place.
Millennials are educated.
You tickle my intellectual fancy.
Connected and diverse, except when they're not.
Just a tip. Just a tip.
Sort of like the show, actually. The Bunker Mentality, evenings from 7 to 11. Sports Radio 92.9.
13 of the 26 guys that we just signed, you know, played for a state championship. 25 of the 26 we just signed have been multi-sport athletes. So we're really excited. We look for those kind of qualities in our players, and we got a great academic class coming in, so there's a lot of good things mixed in this class.
Georgia head coach Kirby Smart on the number one recruiting class in the nation. And welcome back to Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and the morning show from the Kia Studios. Hugh Douglas at the Eagles parade, which, by the way, Randy McMichael starts at 11 this morning. I had to look it up in Philadelphia. Randy McMichael and John Chuckery joining me this morning on our college football game time show the day after National Signing Day, talking a little bit about National Signing Day and Georgia having the consensus number one class in the entire nation, 6 to 7 to 8 five-star players, depending upon how you look at it. Randy Mack, you couldn't have had a better class, and that's the good news. Now the bad news. The bad news is the expectation is that this class will deliver what Georgia almost did deliver in the last class, a national title.
Why is it a bad thing? That's what you should want, right? I mean, that's what Kirby came to. That's the reason they fired Coach Rick to get Kirby Smart here, was to compete for championships. Yeah, this past year was it was the most fun I've had being a Georgia fan, a former player, whatever. And right now, it's all about recruiting. Kirby learned from the best of how to build a program. He learned from Nick Saban. How do you build this program? You got to get good players. Like you said, John, you were up with 61%.
Yeah.
You know, that's what he's trying to get up at Georgia. And I think it's what they usually say is three recruiting cycles when you get until you get your own guys in there and everything. And he's right where he needs to be right now.
And not that Alabama, you know, did terribly, but I don't think there's any question about the fact, guys, that when you lose Kirby Smart, when you lose Jeremy Pruitt, I mean, those guys are really good at what they do. I mean, as good as Nick Saban is in your living room, you have to have those other guys too. And I think you see that, look, Kirby is going to go directly after the same kid that Alabama is going after. There's no taking a back seat to any kid that what Alabama wants is what Georgia is going to want. And that's what's going to be fun over the next few years is that if Georgia continues this trend, and Randy, we talked about Georgia's sexy right now.
Yes,
it's a very sexy program to want to go play for.
It's a fun program. It's the trendy one because we know nowadays kids don't go to schools for the tradition of going to the school. I mean, it's something they're all at these 7-on-7 passing camps and all these Under Armour things, and they all want to click up together and go to a school, and that's what it's about right now.
And they're meeting these coaches in 7th and 8th grade now. You know, I mean, they're spending the way these camps run and everything, and you get coaches that, you know, you get these crazy coaches, Stoops up in Kentucky, where you give kids in the 8th and 9th grade scholarships and things. I mean, you're trying to build these relationships for so long with these kids, so it's kind of ingrained with meeting these guys, the Kirby Smarts of the world.
Well, if you believe the recruiting experts, so to speak, Georgia ends up with the number one class of the nation. Ohio State is number 2, Texas and Tom Herman, number 3, and that should send a little shockwave. Let's just focus on that for a second. Kind of looking at the recruiting rankings nationally, Texas 3, USC 4. We're not backing down at other schools. USC had a great year for Clay Helton and Tom Herman. There was a lot of hope that when Tom Herman took that job at Texas that he'd be able to turn Texas into a national power. Come in with the number 3 class after a really good class last year. Yeah, you know, I mean, I still think that Texas under Tom Herman is going to become a power again.
Well, as Wes Durham says, they're by God Texas, right? I mean,
exactly.
With all due respect,
Texas.
I mean, we're acting like they're TCU. I mean, it's Texas, right? I mean, it's one of the true few real handful blue blood programs in the country. I mean, with all due respect, Texas should never be down. That's the part that boggles my mind. Texas is not ever supposed to be down. Now, again, you have a head coach that said, I don't want Baker Mayfield out of Austin, Texas, and JT Barrett begged to go to Texas, and I don't want him either. And, you know, you make those kinds of decisions, and you can put your program back, but it's Texas. They're supposed to be great.
And then the other programs are not – because remember, they were losing recruits to Baylor, TCU.
Right.
I mean, that's the one thing that Tom Herman did this year and last year. He kept those big-time Texas kids in Texas. And then we all know the facilities and all – I mean, the kids, you know, they like the little toys and all that. I mean – Texas sells itself. I don't really think Tom Herman has to sell Texas.
No, I mean, look, it doesn't hurt to put 17-inch monitors in your locker room and everything to go along with it, but it is by God Texas, and it is supposed to be the blue blood bell cow program in that state.
So according to 24/7, Georgia 1, Ohio State 2, Texas 3, USC 4, Penn State 5, Clemson 6, Alabama 7, Miami 8. Mark Richt did a good job down there in Miami again. Oklahoma 9, Notre Dame 10. Clemson, just for a moment, you know, sometimes these recruiting services will value total class in terms of size over quality. Because you can compare Ohio State at number 2, for example, had 26 signees, of which 3 were 5-star players. Clemson only had 17, 26 to 17. Yet Clemson had 5 5-star players, including 3 of the top 5 in the nation. So you want to say Ohio State had the number 2 class, Clemson had the number 6 class. You can make an argument that Clemson's class is better than Ohio State's.
Well, don't worry about Ohio State. They're loaded for bear. They loaded up, and they're going to be just fine with what they brought in. Okay. But look, when you're at the level that Clemson is right now, and think about you brought all those kids in, John, and they've got the college all-star team for the defensive line coming back.
That's the crazy thing about it is they got the number one defensive tackle in the country, but yet there's – their whole starting and rotational guys on the defensive front last year are coming back. Yeah. So who has the better D-line, Clemson or Ohio State?
Yeah.
I mean, I think they're 1A, 1B.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. No question about it. So,
well, you know, Georgia had, because of this year was so unique, and we're talking about the National Signing Day in the morning show with Hugh in Philadelphia getting ready for the Eagles parade, Randy McMichael, John Chuckery with John Fricke this morning. Well, because of this new thing, this new early period in December right around Christmas, Yesterday was kind of muted, but it was really kind of indicative because we had, while we had 70% of all the top recruits sign in December, the race became so intense for that 30% that were left, like a Patrick Surtain Jr., who his dad was an NFL star, everybody thought was going to LSU and ends up at Alabama.
Yeah, man, and I'm so happy for Lil Pat. I've been knowing Lil Pat. I mean, I remember him running around the locker room and him coming over to the house and everything. Got a chance to talk to his dad yesterday about 9:30. He was telling me how that decision was so hard. I mean, this kid, I mean, you talk about LSU's been on Pat since 10th grade. I mean, it was a foregone conclusion that he was going to be an LSU Tiger. You know, his family's from that area, but that's Nick. Nick can go in there and, you know, you're going to come to Alabama. All right, it doesn't matter how long they've been recruiting you or whatever. I'm Nick Saban. You're a five-star guy. You're coming to Alabama.
Well, he said, I went there because of the coach and the tradition and everything else. I think LSU's going to regret that Orgeron hire in about two, 3 years.
I mean, and you look.
By the way, if you want schools that didn't do well for themselves, LSU didn't do well for themselves.
Well, they ended up 15th.
Yeah, that's not where LSU's supposed to be.
But the whole Ed Orgeron, I mean, how upset, and we talk about it a lot, how upset are you if you're the LSU fan base knowing that you wanted Jimbo Fisher, and all you had to do was wait 1 year? That's all you had to do.
Well, and those are schools that you talk about, John, the schools that had some of the late coaching hires. Florida State did itself well yesterday, Texas A&M. So overall, some of the numbers of A&M and Florida State may not look good, but what they did yesterday really kind of helped from where – I mean, Florida State, I think, was 36th going into yesterday. So Willie Taggart did himself yesterday. And Jimbo – give Jimbo a year or two. Don't worry. There's going to be plenty of kids coming to Texas A&M. You talk about facilities and why you want to go. That's the one program that's got the shot to really go head-to-head with Tom Herman. That's why you hope that rivalry somehow comes back together, because that could be, with Tom Herman and Jimbo in that state, could be a lot of fun.
We go back again to the whole concept of this early signing period in December and some of the fallout from it, because this is the first year that it happened. And what it created was this wild scenario with all these coaches being fired and hired all over the place in front of that signing period, because you had to get somebody in place, because the big signing period, turns out, was in December. And as a result, you saw the fallout from that, as you were talking about. Now, did it work for these schools to make changes? Well, all right, let's look. Florida State ends up number 11, ahead of Auburn at number 12. Florida, with a new coach, of course, Dan Mullen, number 14. Oregon is at number 16. A&M at number 17. UCLA with Chip Kelly, number 18. Tennessee, of course, with its wild story, you can argue about what they want. They finished 20th. Nebraska, 22nd. So these are schools that went through coaching changes, in the case of Tennessee, wild coaching changes. Say what you like. Tennessee finished 20th is probably pretty impressive to me.
Yeah, I mean, Coach Pruitt can recruit.
It could have been a disaster there.
He's one of the best recruiters in America. I mean, he knows what he's doing. And once again, you know who they're going after. They're going after the guys that they were highly recruited when they were with Alabama. That's why I always think when a coach leaves a school, he should just leave. When he gets a job somewhere, he should not be able to do double duties, because how are you working for me?
Yeah, but you're trying to get guys on your team. Scott Frost wouldn't have won a national championship if he didn't stay it.
Well, neither would Kirby Smart. He won a real one, though.
I mean, he won a real one, yeah. Little difference.
It is the morning show with John Fergie this morning, joined by John Chuckery and Randy Mack. Well, today is a day where Hugh is at a parade in Philadelphia with 1,989,999 of his friends. Something like that. 2 million people. We'll tell you what else today is as we continue on Sports Radio 92 on the Game.
John and Hugh.
Oh, I think it's sexy.
There is nothing sexy about this show.
What?
John Fricke and Hugh Douglas.
On Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Now the world don't move to the beat of just one drum. What might be right for you may not be right for some.
I'm stumped here.
They got nothing but
the I'm totally stumped.
You don't know this theme song?
No.
Oh, my God.
Oh, different strokes.
What type of dude are you, John? Wow. Come on, John.
No, I knew it. I've been trying to figure out what birthday this works with here. Gary Coleman. It took me a second. I had to look way down the list. Gary Coleman's birthday today. God rest his soul. Welcome back to the morning show, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game on this Thursday. Don't shake your head, Randy Mack. Randy Mack and John Chuckery.
Well, one thing is those kids didn't have any problems in real life.
No, they didn't. Not they after were it real was stable. Over. No, Bridges was, was really,
Are any of them alive?
I don't even know.
Are three kids alive?
I think Garrett Coleman's passed away, I think.
Dana Plato's gone. Yeah.
It is a huge day in the city of brotherly love. And Hugh Douglas gets to take part in it. Hugh, my friend, how you doing in Philly this morning?
Good morning, everybody. Good morning, Atlanta. Good morning, John Chuckery.
Hugh.
Hey, Randy Mack, what's going on, man? How y'all doing?
How you doing, my brother? How was the drive?
Oh, it was brutal. You know, it was a brutal drive, but it was all worth it, man. You know, traveling with the little guy, he likes to stop a lot. He likes to eat food that we don't really have on our, diet plan. But it's okay. We had a great time. We're here. The city is bananas.
How's the weather up there, Hugh? How's the weather like up there?
It's very, very cold. It's very, very cold. I'm in trauma right now because, you know, like down south, I always like to talk about it's an inconvenience when it's a little bit cold. No, it's cold for real up here. I mean, for real cold.
You joining us live from Philadelphia, where at 11 o'clock this morning, the Eagles are going to have a parade. 2 million people, Hugh. And this is going to be as you, man.
John Friggin. Wait a minute. Let's back that up a little bit. There, like, as of last night, there's estimated to be 4 million people here.
Oh, my gosh.
They have shots.
Wow.
They have shots of people that were sleeping at the airport that didn't have rooms. There are people that even, I stayed in Cherry Hill, New Jersey. It's like 20 miles outside of the city. My hotel was packed. There's estimated to be 4 million people here today. I got here like 5:15 this morning. There were crowds of people out here as we speak. I mean, it's just bananas. It is bananas out here right now.
Wow. So are you going to be like, are you going to throw on the Hugh Douglas name and try to get, you know, up front? I mean, how's this going to work now?
No, you know what? I'm just going to enjoy it, man. I mean, just to be back in the city of Philadelphia, the city where I play, and to see the fans have fun, man, that's what it's all about. And, you know, my son, he really the one that wanted to come because the last time with the Super Bowl, he was one. So he was the one that said, Dad, we got to go. So we came up. I mean, he's looking around. He's just excited. I mean, you go downtown in Philadelphia right now, everything's like they have these green lights on and everything. It's a great time, man. Everybody and their mother's up, and everybody's already a little saucy up this morning. As we speak, they're already saucy.
Now, we're curious because we saw the celebration after they actually won the actual game. Is there going to be anything like that today during the parade? Like, is anything going to be thrown over, cars on fire, anything like that?
You know what? Randy Mack, let me tell you. It's safe to say, Yes, that is the case. That's why I have parked my truck in a secure facility, and it's about 5 or 6 blocks away from the actual parade group. So that way, I have a great chance of actually keeping my truck and making it back to Atlanta, because the way that these fans are going to act when these guys come through the city, it is going to be bananas, man. It really is.
Certainly, our buddy star of the show, Hugh Douglas, live in Philadelphia with his little man. Getting ready for the parade. 4 million people today. I mean, Hugh, what does this mean? I think the 4 million speaks to volumes. We know what this means to Philadelphia. What does it mean to you?
You know what, man? I'm excited for this city. You know, being a city that has been starving for a Super Bowl championship for so long, it's a great feeling for them, man. And you know what? I can't wait to see what it's going to be like when this happens in Atlanta. And, you know, I'm not just saying that because I work there. I mean, I honestly believe that, man. You know, Atlanta's a city that embraced me when I left Philadelphia, came down there, been doing radio for a long time, having fun down there, man. And Atlanta deserves a parade just like this. This is bananas. Never thought I would be a part of anything like this on this level, but this is bananas. And everybody deserves to have a parade like this, especially the city of Atlanta.
Hugh Douglas joining us live from Philadelphia, where they get ready for the parade at 11 o'clock this morning. He's going to be there and front and center watching this all take part. Now, what are they going to do? Hugh, walk me through this. I saw what? A 5 mile. They're going to start at the stadium and end where? How's this all going to work? Because it's going to be on TV.
They're going to end at the Art Museum.
Okay.
But from what I've been told, they have a few special guests that are going to be at the parade, and they're going to have a few other things that they're going to have. They have 14 Jumbotron TVs set up along the parade route. This is a big deal. This is a huge deal, and they have some other things they're going to have going on. And at the end of the parade, when everybody comes down, they're going to sit, and I guess everybody's going to talk. They're going to start the actual ceremony from 1 to 3. And after that, I think everybody's just going to stay in Philadelphia and party.
Hugh, can anybody steal Napoleon Dynamite's thunder right now? I mean, could they actually be like at the Art Museum and all of a sudden they start playing the Rocky music and Sly Stallone steps out with the gloves on and the Rocky belt? I mean, could they actually do something like that?
Let me tell you, John Fricky, there is not a man on this planet right now in the city of Philadelphia that can take any of Nick Foles' shine right now. That's the truth. Nobody. Randall Cunningham, Donovan McNabb, Concrete Charlie, if he was still alive, nobody. No. Richie Pike couldn't take his thunder right now. if he was alive. But rest in peace. God rest both of those guys. So nobody can take his thunder right now here in the city of Philadelphia.
Are you going to try to get down in the city? I mean, are you going to go follow it all the way in or what?
You know what? I'm out here right now by the almost at the end of the parade route, and I'm going to hang out as long as I possibly can. But, man, you're talking about 4 million people all in one area, man. That's a lot of people.
Yeah, but you're huge. That you can move people out of your way. They'll let you through.
Yeah, true.
I'll let you through.
Yeah, but you know what? I mean, they will, man, but that's a lot of people. And you got to think, man. They've been drinking since 3:30 this morning.
That's a good point.
A lot of
Hugh, you get you and Bill Berge, and you start getting through the crowd in there, man. They'll let you through. I promise you.
Listen, that's a lot of sauce, though. That's a lot of sauce people have in their system at 3:30 this morning. And it is over at 3. That's a lot of sauce.
Yeah,
I'm going to let them enjoy it, and I'm just going to slide out. You know my mission in life is? My ex-wife told me that he has to get home. My whole mission in life is to make sure he makes it to the airport in time to catch his flight so that I can still have a put. Number one, I can keep the peace between us and not get cussed out. That's it. I don't want a broken arm or anything if this man misses this flight. So that's my mission in life. Is to take him to this parade and make sure that he makes this flight later on the day.
Well, you enjoy the parade, my friend. Let us know how it was.
Right,
we look forward to having you
fun,
back.
Big homie.
All right, y'all have a good one, man. Have a great day.
Yeah,
thanks,
you too.
Man.
All right, dude.
Yeah, Hugh Douglas live in Philadelphia, where they're celebrating 4 million people crammed into a 5-mile area. That's like, say, Lenox to here.
And it's not supposed to get to above 30
Square.
Degrees up there. It's supposed to be in the wind chills in the 20s for the parade.
They're not worried about that.
No, they aren't. They're
4 million people from Lenox Square Mall to Colony
Square.
That's
global warming.
Yeah. Phew, man. When we get back, are we close to having that kind of a parade in Atlanta? Because the owner says we are. Do you agree? It's next on The Morning Show on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.